Thank you for your very warm welcome. I want to open up the scripture from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 5. Today I want to talk about that our God is light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without void, form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. All right, so this is the account of God speaking light into an environment where there was decay and decline. And light began to pierce the darkness. And I want to bring this together with, obviously, John chapter 1, which is a very familiar text of Scripture, but I want to read that as well. And what we see from the book of Genesis and that God is light. Okay, so this is what we're going to see here. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, and the thing that we want to see here this morning is that God separates light and darkness. Now in chapter 1 verse 1 of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and all through him, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Then we just read verse 14 as well. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God is light. God is light. And light means that without the source of life, we couldn't live. Is that true? If we had no light, we wouldn't have life on planet Earth. Everything would freeze to death. Okay, so the first thing that we realize is it is essential, just like water, just like light. It is an essential part for living, for any form of life. That's why it says He is the life, and in the life was light, and that light gives life to every man. And He's that Word. That Word has life, the life has light, and that light gives light to every man that comes into the world. God is light. And without God, nothing was made that was made. That means everything that was made is dependent on that light. Even before, now if you read the account of Genesis chapter 1, of course, see, God spoke, "Let there be light." There was light. And then God created the firmaments, the heavens, the earth. And then He begins to gather the sea together and begins to put the earth together and then puts the plants and all of that. Then, he creates the sun, moon, and the stars for the season. And then he puts the plants, the seed, then the animals, then he puts man. Do you know what I'm talking about? So there's a sequence in creation. But even before there was the sun, God had already spoken light in the spoken light. Is that true? Are you following what I'm saying? That means even before there was the sun, moon, and star, God said, let there be light. He was the source of light. Is that true? Can you follow what I'm saying here? It means that beyond when we need the sun, but the light that comes from God, even in the beginning, God said, let there be light. That's the light that is God himself. We need that light. Without Jesus, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to me except, and no one comes to the Father except by me. He is the light. He is the true life. And this is the light that we're so very dependent upon. Can I get an amen? So Jesus is light. God is light. And when light comes, it confronts darkness. Okay? And when it confronts darkness, right, there's a separation. Everybody say separation. Between light and darkness. So when we receive Jesus Christ, the light, the word, we receive that light, it separates us from the world. Now, I begin by saying that God is this light and that this light is essential for every man to have life on earth. If we receive him, we have the right to become the children of God. And I said that even before there was the sun, God spoke light and there was light. Is that true? Now, I just want to read one more verse in Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, I think it is. And this is to say that we need to be dependent on that source of life, that source of bread. I want to pick up from, maybe I'll give you a little quick background here. Is obviously you remember the story of Moses crossing the Red Sea with the children of Israel. They came out of slavery, and now we enter into the book of Joshua where they are to cross over the Jordan River and possess the land. Do you know the story a little bit? Are you familiar with that thought? Okay, and then they're about to go in. And all this time in the wilderness for 40 years, they were dependent on manna, the bread that came from heaven. All right? Now, I want to read this verse of scripture here and from verse 10 to 12 of Joshua chapter 5. Book of Joshua, chapter 5, verse 11 to 12. Or verse 10 first. It says, in verse 10, it says, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. All right? So for 40 years in the wilderness, they had no way to get food except they were dependent on manna that came from God. But the moment they enter into the promised land, and for the very first time they are eating the produce of the land, they had no more need of manna. And as a result, what happens? When you don't depend on manna anymore and you already have, the manna ceases to come. Are you with me so far? What I'm saying is sometimes when we have the things that we don't like, you know, we come into a place where we have everything, because you got to remember, Jesus says, I am the bread, that manna, the true manna that comes from heaven. I'm the bread of life. That means we need daily bread. We need literal, actual bread, which would refer to food. But Jesus is talking about a bread and a life that is far above the natural needs that actually gives us life, that keeps us going, that gives us life and energy and our being. And so what I'm saying is that God is light. And without this light, we cannot live. God is the true bread. Without this bread, we cannot live without it. All right, and so the moment we start depending on our own abilities, our own skills, guess what? We feel like, oh, we don't really need the manna because we are eating of the produce of the land. That means I'm functioning out of my effort. I'm functioning out of my skills. I'm functioning out of my abundance. Maybe I'm working and I'm getting an income, and so I'm spending out of that abundance. Okay? And so what we do is, without realizing, we're actually saying we don't need the supply from heaven. I can supply my own needs. All right? And I think that's a very dangerous place to get to, because I've been very convicted of that even after reading this verse. But I'm realizing that in life we can very much fall in that category. All right, where God will actually cause us to come into a place where we feel that without Him, truly, we cannot do it without Him. All right, you know, you might be in a place where, you know, you got born again and you're on fire and growing, everything is going running fast and everything is just hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everything is just beautiful. It's like honeymoon. It's like, you know, cloud 99 or what? Cloud 7, cloud 9, whatever. All right, and everything is Jesus is just amazing. I mean, Jesus is still amazing nevertheless. But what I'm saying is, and then what happens is things happens well and spiritually everything is good and everything seems fine. Then God will make sure that he works in our lives, or he works in my life at least, to make me know or make me remember that it comes from Him. And it hits a reality is in that, you know, everything that I'm doing, you know, it has to be from God. If it's not from God, they gotta consider that very carefully. So are we? Amen. Okay, so God is light. I want to start it out with that light, because I think it is a very important thing to remember and realize that without light, without God, we cannot have what we need. It is impossible to live the life that God wants and intends for us, as long as we're not dependent on the light that comes right from God, the bread that is right from God. I want to read from 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, sorry, chapter 5. I just want to read a few scriptures here. And then, we're going to see how much hope God actually gives us. In John chapter 1, so this part, we're just going to talk a little bit of reality here, okay? Reality checks that we need the light, that He's the source. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read all the way to verse 7 at least. Okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, our eyes which have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Okay, take note. Everybody say word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to the eternal life, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Now this is the message which we have heard. What message? The word of life, okay? This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. All right, so here again, we read this verse again, we have this a notion that God is light, God is light, God is light. And if we walk in the light, we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with Him indeed. All right? Now, the next point that I want to stress now is that when there's light, light brings clarity, light exposes things. Light reveals. It brings into like the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the appealing, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation, there's an enlightenment. Okay, so this light enlightens and bring forth things in our lives. But what I want you to see is that light does not just expose, it separates. Everybody say separate. When God said, let there be light, then he separated the darkness from the light. So there is a separation that takes place. I want to emphasize one verse here. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, verse 6, sorry, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now remember, light, when it comes, is like truth. Because when truth comes, it reveals and it's like light, isn't it? Truth is light. So when the truth comes to us, which means when God speaks to us, maybe in your devotion or on a Sunday morning or in live group or in a time of prayer meeting, in your own prayer life, when the word comes to us, it is light. That light will obviously expose, it will reveal things in our lives. But then he says, remember, light always causes separation to take place. It means that if I have the truth, if I have received the light, but I walk not in it, I don't walk in it, that means I'm actually lying, not practicing the truth. That means I'm not practicing what the truth that I receive. It actually means I'm walking in darkness. All right, but the first thing that God calls us to be is to be separated. If I have light, I will separate myself from darkness. It's a separation. So when the light comes, the first thing that I want to say this morning is that it will cause a separation. All right, so remember, I wanted to read a few verses, but I think I'll just paraphrase it. But in the book of John chapter 17, Jesus said, I don't pray for the world, but I'm not just praying for the world. But in fact, I'm just praying for my disciples. Why? Because I've sent them in the world. They are not of the world. Just as Jesus says, I'm not of the world, but they are in the world. Okay? But I pray that you will protect them. All right, because they will be persecuted, because if they persecuted me, they will also persecute them. But he says, I've given them my word. My word is truth. And that truth will sanctify, which means change, which means to make us more like Jesus, to find and discover and bear the fruit of righteousness and of holiness. But the word is truth. That truth is light. But the thing is that I want to see is that, see how when he says the word comes and I've given them your word that sanctify them and the truth will keep them and sanctify them is to keep them from the world. That means there's a separation. There's a clear separation, distinction. So I want to say this morning, for all of us that are here, most of us have been Christians for long, maybe some. Is there a clear distinction in my life? Is there a clear separation that has taken place in my life? If maybe we feel that, you know, I am not too sure. Sometimes, you know, we're one foot here, one side and one on the other, and we're not sure. I want to say this morning, God is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that there is no other way except the way of the cross and finding forgiveness but through the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be filled by him and to receive the life which comes from above. Light separates. You know, if you look at the progression of our politics here in Australia, all right, I'm going to put it in three, okay? I'm just going to demonstrate something here. We've got the Greens, we've got the Labour Party, and we've got the Liberal Party, okay? And at some point, we know that, okay, let's go back a few years now. We know that the Greens, we know what they stand for, right? Okay? All those socialism stuff, right? And trying to bring all the weird, okay, all the nonsense. I mean, I call it nonsense, right? Not common sense stuff. Okay, and then we have the Labour Party, and then we have the Liberal Party. But if you actually look down over the years, you find that the Greens have gone to a more extreme side now, where they are trying to advocate all kinds of crazy things, right? And now the Labour Party, which was more conservative before, is now actually standing where the Greens are standing, and then the Liberal Party is now standing where the Labour Party used to be. So you can see down, everything is just, the that means the standard is just going down. It's just shifting down. And so what used to be good is now compromising and getting just as what we formally say that's wrong, and that wrong is now getting to an, you can see the decline. That's why we need a new group of people that will rise and speak the truth and retain the laws of God in our land. Okay? All right? Because there is a better way. All right? There's a better way which has common sense. All right? Not nonsense. All right? The common sense that we want to have values that are biblical, values that has proven that builds society. All right? I'm not advertising here, but this is true. All right? But light separates. See, when the light comes, it will cause a separation to take place. And then when light comes, we can choose to do what do we want to do as a result of that light coming to pass. Now, I want to say this here, and because we're dealing a few things here. So, first of all, let me pray. I want to activate a few things here this morning. Maybe. We've grown up in church and we've been going to church, but it's just some things that needs to be activated. I need to be separated. I just need to separate myself from the things of the world. Sometimes it's not evil, but it's just distractions that stops us from God's destiny. So we want to activate this morning that something will happen in our lives this morning that will make a choice and say, I want to be separated, set apart, consecrated unto God for the gospel. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name by the power of the Holy Spirit that those that are, all of us that are sitting here this morning that are on the fence, still having a little bit, not being able to make a choice this morning to make it clear when the light comes, there's no gray area, there's no compromise, as we've seen in the political party, how this is going down and down because there's a lot of gray areas. But Lord, we cut that off right now in the name of Jesus. We activate right now that there will be decisiveness to make a choice this morning to be separated unto the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I say this now, the next part is where light comes. Did I say it reveals truth? It will deal with us, doesn't it? Now, light will cause separation to take place inside of my life. That means I'll be separated from darkness. Now, I want us to take note of one thing, the Pharisees. You've heard that this morning. Pastor just briefly talked about the Pharisees. And the Pharisees means, though the exact term, the term actually means one that is separated. Okay, he is separated. That means their background is something like this. You know, they wanted to keep the law of God and preserve that during the times where they were oppressed due to the Greek culture coming into the picture and trying to enforce their culture upon them. And so as a result, they resisted that, and as time went by, they came out as a sect known as the Pharisees. Now, I want to say something here because we are to be separated unto God, okay? Now, that's what the Pharisees believe too. They got to be separated for God, okay? All right. Now, if you were to trace down a little bit and go look further forward back in history and look at where the Pharisees actually initiated, or where, I won't say initiated, but where they find their roots were not from something evil, it was actually from something good. Now, how many of you remember the story when Daniel came out of captivity? Then we have the return, right? The decree to go and build the temple. Do you know that? Remember that? All right, so they go, then you have Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, and all these big shot guys, and they say, let's reformers, and say, all right, let's go and build, and all of that, right? Okay, now, Ezra, there was great revival in the days of Ezra. What was happening? He would open the Bible, the law, and he would begin to read it in the open square, and all the people, and the Bible says, make it very clear, everyone were listening attentively to the word of God. All those who had understanding, they paid attention, and when worship, they all said amen. Go and check in the Bible, it's there. They were so into it. And so Ezra was a priest as well as a scribe. Now, a scribe was someone who wrote the scriptures. Now, out of that, now the priest and the scribe, there was someone very, very important. But as time went by, the law became very, very important in the sight of all the people. And people were actually hungry to uphold the law of God. And so as a result, the scribe became more prominent. And so they started to study the scriptures, and they became more and more well-versed with the scripture. And out of that, they were trying to conserve the law by adding traditions over the years, and they begin to pass those oral laws and tradition down all the way to even today. All right? And so when times of persecution came, when the Greek culture invaded, and you know how Alexander the Great came into the picture, and all the Greek stuff, all the Hellenization that was taking place, they were one of the group that was standing and say, we don't want the Greek culture to change us. We want to uphold the law of God. And they separated themselves and kept it. But then what happened to them is now as we know them, you know, when you say a Pharisee, the first thing that comes to mind is what? A hypocrite. But okay, but that's not really what it is. Okay, but this is what we see them now, because that's what they were doing in the days of this, in the days of Jesus, because they taught a lot of things that they themselves wouldn't do. But what I'm saying here is that they became religious. They became religious, and Jesus said that unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, we can't enter into the kingdom of God. So what I'm saying here today is that out of something good, the Pharisees, the stream of the Pharisees who takes things to an extreme, can turn bad. Why? Religion. Okay, and you might be asking me, okay, why are we talking about religion? Are you saying I'm religious? Can we be? Okay? Can we be religious? Okay? So think about it. When light comes, it will challenge. Jesus was the light, and when he walked and began to speak, he was challenging. The Pharisees were being challenged, and they were resisting Jesus. Okay? So what am I saying here this morning? When light comes, all right, there is a principle of the Word of God that can never be changed. The character, the nature of everything that who God is, the nature of God, the character of God, that we cannot defy that. We can never change those things. We can never change our stance or our position of those attributes of who God is, His nature and His character. Right? But we got to ask ourselves one thing is, if I've become rigid, very difficult to be taught, form of godliness. You know, one of the things that I realize when I looked at my own life, when we come on the religious side, it is so easy to start looking at people and pinpointing stuff and things. Okay? So you got to start to see, okay, how am I being traditional? How am I being so rigid, like the Pharisees, to an extreme where I'm bound, to an extreme where I cannot be taught things, where I pride was another thing. The Pharisees said, we have it all, we have it all, we know it all, we know it all. Okay, so when the truth came, it began to expose all of that. Religion keeps us bound. Religion makes us look good in front of people, but not necessarily behind the scenes. Religion keeps us bound, it doesn't keep us free. Religion has a form of godliness, but no power. Religion has talk, but no action. Okay? Is that true? I mean, I don't know if I'm speaking to you, but I know I'm speaking at least to me, okay? But this is reality, and so I had to really check myself. Because, you know, when we become religious, then a lot of things become very impractical, not doable. You're requesting, and you know, even the Bible says the Pharisees were imposing things that they themselves wouldn't even lift one finger and do. Book of Luke, I think Jesus was just rebuking them to the core. You Pharisees, you Pharisees, you Pharisees. You know, and woe to you scribes, woe to you Pharisees. So we want to ask ourselves this, okay? And we want to break some spirits that are operating, and it keeps us bound. People in the world are not interested in religion. They want answers. They want something that they can work with, something that they can, you know, experience. Okay, and so we wanna speak that right now in the name of Jesus. Every religious spirit right now, be completely broken right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that is just in the way and having a form of godliness, having the talk but not the action, having all the right words and no power, in the name of Jesus. Right now, we cut it off right now. In the name of Jesus, we say be free from the spirit of religion right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be truth. In the name of Jesus, right now, we receive in the mighty name of Jesus the power of God. The power of God in the name, the life of God, the light of God, the truth of God. In the name and in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. 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 So, light. The word, light, life, truth. Okay? So let's remember one thing this morning, okay, as I bring it to a conclusion, is that every time that God speaks his word, all right, now, it will not feel comfortable sometimes, especially when we are in a place of comfort. It doesn't feel good because it means we have to change. But that's not a bad thing. That's because God is actually working in our lives to make sure we're on track. So if you're here this morning and you feel like, you know, every time, you know, you're in a Bible study, you know, in a prayer meeting, and you feel like, and you feel, don't feel condemned. It's actually good for us, all right? Because the word is actually finding its way into our hearts and breaking those hard grounds that needs to be broken. Now you might say, oh, the Pharisees, what a religious bunch. Oh, the Pharisees, what a stubborn bunch. Oh, the Pharisees, they would just talk, all right? But even for the Pharisees, there's hope for them, all right? Nicodemus responded. Joseph, who provided the tomb, responded. The Pharisees are the Pharisees. Paul, he responded. There is hope for the Pharisees. So it doesn't mean, oh, Pharisee, 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 there's no hope. No, there's hope. There is hope. So if I look at myself and I say, oh man, I've been so religious and I've been such a Pharisee for, you know, even then there is hope because God is so good. Amen. So in every stage we are in life, God actually gives hope to us. Now, I look at myself, we look at ourselves, and many times like, I'm not there. Wow, I'm not there. I'm not there. It's true, we're not there. But God works in our lives to help us to be there. And so instead of condemning us, he's actually giving us hope. There is a way, there's a better way, and we can, if the light actually comes to us, speaks to us, and we actually take action. There's as we've been hearing in recently, in the last few weeks, we've been hearing outpouring and outpouring and outpouring of the Holy Spirit and outpouring of the Holy Spirit and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when the Holy Spirit would outpour upon us, he will make sure truth is coming our way. Truth is coming our way. And when truth comes, it will reveal things to you in our lives. And this is good. And we make a choice to consecrate our lives to Jesus and say, there's no other way. There's only one way. There's only one way. Okay? Now, let me say this in closing. You know, let's be serious in our lives this morning, and let's look at the places where we could have been religious, or places where, you know, we have not fully committed maybe to God. Sometimes we want a little bit of the world. Sometimes we want a little bit our own ways. And you, and that's, I want to say, okay, sorry, one last thing I want to say is this. When we come to a place where we're no longer that dependent on God and we become religious and all of that, like I said, we start operating in our flesh. And God will put us into a place where, you know, flesh will fail. I'll give you a quick testimony, a quick testimony, and it's not the only one, but I'll give you a quick one, and which is one which is you're very, very familiar with, is that, you see, for me to make this move to come into full-time was not the hardest thing in the world, but it was challenging to me because of certain factors that I was considering, as most people would, okay? And so I struggled a little bit with the thought of doing it, but I know for sure that. And so, as a result, I was striving with my own flesh to make a decision. And it was a bit of a struggle. I mean, not a struggle that I didn't want to do it, but you're just wrestling with your mind. Is this the right time? Is this God's will? Well, if it's not God's will, what is God's will? Anyway, so I'm glad I've made it. But the thing is this. When I woke up and I knew I got the word from God, and that word was confirmed in me, it put an end to my self-effort in this area, that particular area anyway. And I've never felt at peace and restful about it. And I've never, I can say, I don't worry about, you know, what could, what may, what, I mean, that's what people do when you talk to people, right? What if this happened? What if that happens? Well, what if it doesn't happen? What if the best happens? Isn't that true? All right, but I know for sure that when I had that word, and it just confirms in my heart that light came, the truth came, and it just set me free from every oppressive thoughts. I put it oppressive thoughts, yeah, because it was annoying, okay? And so it set me free. And so we have to also come into a point where we have the light of God. God is exposing things and saying, are you and I just trying to operate out of the flesh or by the Spirit of God, by the truth of God? So we want to pray one more thing this morning, and we want to really pray that the things that we're involved, the things that we're doing, and how we're doing it, we're no longer depending on self, on flesh, on talents, on skills, but we are relying and depending on God. Lord, we activate this right now. You are sovereign, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, O God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we believe that when we give ourselves to Jesus, we can die to self, and it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in the inside of me. No longer according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And if I started in the Spirit, we shall continue and end and continue in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So we come against the work of the flesh right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, we put you to an end. We put the flesh down into discipline in the name of Jesus. We pray that it is by grace through faith in Jesus' name. We activate the grace of God upon our lives this morning. Hallelujah. To walk in the Spirit in Jesus' name. Not according to the flesh. Not according to self-effort. But according to the Spirit of God. We receive that sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pour it out more and more. Pour it out more and more upon our lives. Let our lives be changed in Jesus' name. Let our lives be affected right now in Jesus' name. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I've spoken quite a fair bit this morning, and I've said a few points. And I want to ask you this morning, you know, I'm sure there are people, you fall in one of those categories. You know, maybe you feel like you've come into a place where you're running in circles. You realize, I've been doing it in the flesh. Got to do it in the Spirit. Maybe you come into a place where you've been, oh man, I've been so stubborn. I've been so rigid. You know, there's something better out there for me. Then there's a solution. There's a way. All right? Maybe we're in a place where, okay, I'm not sure. Okay, I've got the world. I've got my career. Should I, you know, and we're indecisive as to how we want to serve God. there's a grace here this morning where God's light is here for us, and we can respond to that call right now. And maybe there are people here this morning. Maybe there are people here this morning who have grown into the church, but you maybe never really experienced the real salvation of God. All right? Like we said this morning, we can do things by our own effort and trying, but that will fail. But Jesus said to us that I can give you life and life abundantly. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, for my sins and your sins. Okay, and he suffered death so that we wouldn't have to if we believe in him. And he rose from the dead and defeated all the powers of darkness. You and I can have that abundant life. We don't have to try in the flesh anymore. We don't have to go around in circles. We can receive the free salvation, the gift of God that is eternal life. So you may be here this morning. If you have not received Christ, there is an invitation for you to know the loving Savior who gives you and I hope. So if that's any of you this morning, you know, we would like to maybe have the musicians to come down, and we would like to invite you, if you've never made a decision, all right, or if you need, any of you here in this place that needs to rededicate your life to Jesus, then now is a great time. Or if there's a if you fall into any of the categories this morning that we talked about and you desire change, come down for prayer. Because you see, when we respond to the call of God, something happens. You know, it's very scriptural, it's very biblical, and so I appeal to you this morning to respond to the call and to respond to the stirring that is in your heart. Sometimes you say, "Well, I can do it in my own heart." Yes, you can, and maybe struggle a little bit longer. Oh, you can say there's grace this morning. I'm just going to tap into it this morning. So I invite you this morning, if you need prayer, our pastors will be here as well. And we're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And you're going to be blessed because God gives us hope. In whatever stage we're at, God gives us great hope. And we can do it no matter where we've been at. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.